No ketchup. No ketchup.
What's really good, my people? Welcome into No Ketchup Sports Talk via Chicago. I'm your host, Sean Little. Big Nick the Quick with me, as always. We got a lot to talk about. NFL free agency is on and popping. A lot of moves. Shout out our guy, Darnell Mooney, for getting paid, man. That brought one of the biggest smiles to my face from NFL free agency.
Are you a big Mooney guy? I didn't know that.
I mean, I like to see guys get paid, and I think he can actually play, and I don't know what happened with the Bears, but we'll get into all the free agency stuff. Patrick Queen going to Pittsburgh. Russell Wilson going to Pittsburgh. Saquon going to Philly. We'll talk about all the NFL free agency. Nick Saban also made some comments on the college ball and NIL. I thought were interesting. We'll talk about that. And then we'll give our thoughts on the Saquon Barkley, Tiki Barber conversation. Is it something? Is it nothing? We'll talk a little NBA as well. No catch on Sports Talk via Chicago. Let's get to it. Big Nick the Quick, what's happening?
How are we feeling?
What's going on, man?
Man, I think we got to replace that Jordan intro clip with something from Scotty, Luke Longley, and Horace Grant speaking tour. So we got to find a good clip where Scotty talks about taking things personally, and maybe we can replace it for that.
I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at what they call it, by the way.
I forgot, man. What was it? Like the real story?
No bull tour. You know what I'm saying?
Scotty Pippen is a tragedy, man. Shout out Scotty, man. I hope he gets the help he needs.
All right, man. Yo, how you feeling after? I know, did you watch Champions League yesterday by chance?
I did. I saw that, man. Beat Porto and PK. Good job, man.
Yeah, man. I'm glad. Thank you for
anytime you can beat a team from like the ninth best league in the world, and you're supposed to be one of the best teams in the best league in the world.
No, you gotta do it. Currently, we are the number one team in the best league in the world. If you go look at the table right now, there's only one team at the top, and that is the Arsenal.
So no, you guys are tied with Liverpool.
No, well, goal differential puts us at the top of the table. So we're top boys in the English Premier League, if you'd like to go look at the table. So we're in the quarterfinal of the Champions League, and we're tops of the English Premier League. But I digress, man. I know you.
November champions of 2023.
Spurs guys, salty.
March champions of 2024.
What else you got? Because we're number one in the league, and we're in the quarters of the Champions League, the toughest competition on the planet. Draw us on Friday. We'll see how it shakes. Yep. All right, Big Nick, where do you want to start, man? Should we jump right into this NFL free agency?
Yeah, let's
talk about the most impactful moves. Justin Fields is worthless now. We talked about this last week.
I heard the Steelers signed a backup quarterback.
The conversation at St. Elmo's has now drove Justin Fields to being worthless. He's a nothing. He's a zero. Yeah. He's a nobody. Let me ask you this, actually. So let's stay there and talk about that for a second, because you know that's close to home and something for us to talk about, right?
Yeah.
Is the Justin Fields thing, you think, a market? There's not enough for him, or could it be potentially the Bears have no problem holding on a little bit and waiting for the best deal? Potentially that may even be when the season starts.
Yeah, I think it's a couple things. I think number one, I mean, I thought it was crazy in the beginning where it was like, oh, they can get a one and possibly, you know, a two or possibly a one for him. Like, I thought that was crazy. I think what we got to remember is the rest of the league, like, isn't watching your players like you're watching your players, right? So all these coaches and everything during the season, they're locked in on their team. So they might not be evaluating Justin Fields like that. And then once the season ends and you start talking about potentially trading for a guy, and then you start looking at the film, like, let's be honest, the film on Fields, while there's a lot of like spectacular things and a lot of things that we see and we're like, we can build on that, there's a lot of stuff that leaves a lot to be desired. So I wouldn't be surprised if a few people really sat down with the Fields film and were like, hey, we're not giving up a one or a two for this, especially when you add in the fact that the Bears essentially need to trade the guy. right? Or else you'd be going to an unprecedented situation, bringing him, keeping him on the roster while also drafting a guy at number one. So the Bears don't have a ton of leverage in this situation in the sense that no one's going to run to beat down their door to give them a first or second round pick for A, a quarterback you're not sure on, and B, a guy who you know needs to be traded. So I think that that's kind of what's happening right now. I think they are eventually going to move him. I don't think it'll be like the Mac Jones six round deal type situation, but it's not going to be some super high draft pick. But in order to move forward, you have to get him off the roster if that's what you want to do. I don't agree with anybody trying to float the idea of, hey, let's have Fields in here, and then you bring in Caleb Williams and Fields grooms him, or Fields plays well, then you trade Kit. Like, whatever all that stuff is, you can't have two guys in the building playing one position, and that's ultimately what you're doing. You'd have two starting quarterbacks at that point in time, and that's not the way to go. So I think that they probably misread the market a bit, but if that's what you decide to do, I'm completely against it. And I'm surprised. I hope you're not about to try to make a point for keeping them, because you, of all people, know you cannot – Justin Fields can't have Caleb Williams over his shoulder all year. It doesn't work.
Well, no. I think this is –
And the then you thing. Get nothing for Fields.
Listen, this, but this is the time. But this is the conversation that – we never have, and it needs to be talked about. The people running the show dictate what's going on. Yo, Justin Fields is going to play this year. He's then not going to be the guy, and we're going to go with Caleb, or whatever decision you decide to make. Now, things do change when people get on the field and start making plays, and it's like, oh, shit, then what do we do now? But I think it's a little overblown. Like, it was clear. Yo, Aaron Rodgers, sit your ass down. You're not playing. Patrick Mahomes, sit your ass down. You're not playing this year. Now, it could be a thing where it's like, hey, Caleb Williams, come on out here and play. Justin Fields is the backup all year. Whatever you want to do, if you want to flip it, whatever. I do think there's a little more flexibility than draft Caleb, has to be him. He needs sure. to play, he needs to play week one. Justin can't be anywhere in the building, and we need to completely move on and cut bait and take whatever they want to give us for him. That's the only option.
Those two examples you pointed out, number one, Brett Favre was, 36 when they made that move and was clearly on his way out.
But what I'm getting at is it was still made clear.
Alex Smith was a high-level stopgap quarterback. Alex Smith knew the deal. I'm not here for the long term. And he had a great year that year.
That's not true. He
was not a long-term option.
Alex Smith became a stopgap when they saw Patrick Mahomes on the practice field. They said, okay, this motherfucker.
But they still drafted him. They still drafted him 11th overall.
But Alex Smith was there to be the guy, and he was the guy.
And he had a ridiculously good year and still got replaced.
Until they said, started looking at that boy on the practice. Oh, hold on.
But neither of them were 24-year-old quarterbacks on a rookie deal, which is what our 25, however old Fields is. You know, I just think it's a bad situation to have both of them in there. And I'm surprised this coming from you. You, Mr. Don't waste a year of your quarterback. Isn't that essentially what you'd be doing with Caleb Williams? Don't you just want to get him out there as soon as possible? Caleb Williams, Drake May, Martin Penix, whatever quarterback is number one this week. isn't that who you want to get out? Spencer Rattler? No, who's your boy from Wisconsin? Who's your boy that keeps popping up like herpes? He's at a bigger school. Now he's in Florida. Oh my God.
Bro.
That guy is the worst. Graham Mertz.
Graham Mertz might be number one by the end of the week.
He's a blue chipper by the end of the week, the way we're going right now. So whoever it is, don't you want to get that guy in there playing right away?
Look, I understand that, but I do think there's more flexibility than what we're making it seem, right? So, listen, we've talked about it for months. This is an extremely secular situation, man. I don't know.
There's no way that the Bears, we've already come to the conclusion, the Bears are absolutely drafting a quarterback at one, right? Like, we're drafting Caleb Williams.
It seems so. From everything I've read and everything I hear, it seems like we're drafting Caleb Williams. But can you imagine? This is the thing, bro. This is how fucked up the NFL is. If we kept Justin and he came out and played one good game, like week one or week two, we'd trade him for a first-round pick. People be like, oh, maybe he's made the league.
Maybe that is the best case scenario.
Like, I mean, we saw it happen with Sam Bradford as our guy Eli laid out. But also, I saw something that was Chase Daniels said this the hit for Justin Fields is low. If you keep him on the roster on like a money standpoint, it might be worth keeping both guys on the roster for, because you're going to give Caleb the signing bonus anyway. I think the cash hit, it was something like $3 million. But we can spend the whole podcast talking about Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears and what direction they should go. I kind of just want to see how it shakes.
I'm ready for this to be over.
I'm ready for this shit to be
over. Ready for this to be over, man. Like, it's toxic. It's toxic on Twitter. It's toxic on the airwaves. I really don't listen to Chicago sports radio to begin with, but I certainly am not now, because I just see it when I go on Twitter, and it's been taking a turn for the worse, and it's just ugly, and it just needs to end so we can kind of just move forward as a franchise, if I'm being completely honest with you.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about Saquon Barkley going to Philly, because this has been a big talking point on the internet, and obviously I'm out in New York, and a lot of people have talked about, you know, how they're feeling about it. Just like even at the bodega, I heard someone say to someone, yo, how you feel about Saquon to Philly? Some people are like, I don't care. Yeah, man. Some people are like, yo, fuck Saquon. He's a traitor. Like the whole thing, right? So Saquon Barkley of the Eagles, 3 years, $37.75 million, $25.5 million guaranteed at signing, a.k.a. 3 years, $25.5 million is the real deal. 13.25 in 2024. That'll be next year. 2 years, $26 million is the practical number.
That's the deal.
Per Spotrac and the Philadelphia Eagles. We talked about this right before we hopped on. Every single deal you see in the NFL is fake.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exist. I just read this morning, Patrick Mahomes restructures his deal to free up $20+ million in cap room.
Whatever.
This shit is all phony fugazi. Yeah. Yeah. As long the Rams were the biggest telling story of that a couple years ago. We talk about,
they're signing everybody. Yeah.
How nimble is this cap they got over there?
Yeah.
What's going on?
So, well, then it was going to be like, hey, they're going to be paying for it for the next few years, and they made the playoffs last year. So
yeah.
They figured it out.
Yeah, they clearly
moved. They navigated the crisis.
Correct. So the cap hits for Saquon are 3.9 this year, 13.5 next year. But that's when they can get out from under the deal. 2026, it goes to 15.5. I can guarantee you, hey, I can almost promise you Saquon Barkley is going to play for the Eagles for 2 years. Unless, and if he does and he kills it and everything looks good, he'll have a brand new deal.
Yeah, he won't have
this deal won't exist anymore.
Yeah,
so
he will not have a $16 million cap hit.
Yes, exactly. This is a 2-year deal for Saquon Barkley and the Philadelphia Eagles. A lot of people think that's an overpay, et cetera, whatever. But Saquon got a really strong reaction out of Tiki Barber, who's on WFAN, The Fan, in New York. This is what Tiki Barber had to say about Saquon going over to Philly and the plan for the division rival Eagles. Tongue in cheek, say what you want, but this is the audio, and then we'll get into the reaction from Saquon.
And Saquon has already taken to Twitter himself to say thank you to everyone who's shown me love and support over the past 6 years. Forever grateful. Excited for the next chapter. Blue heart emoji. Peace.
Okay. Right. Blue heart emoji.
Dead to us now.
Yeah, say it.
He's dead to us.
Because he won't say it.
You're dead to us, Saquon. Good luck. You're dead to me.
Now, personally, that didn't bother me one fucking bit at all.
Very much a joke.
And he said it with a smile on his face and waved and whatever. It's like, hey, I do sports radio in New York. New York pays the bills for me. That's who the audience that I'm talking to. So, of course, you're dead to me. You think, bro, when Julius Peppers went from the Bears to the Packers, I still got love for Julius as a dude, but I mean, I'm not rooting for folks anymore. He's dead to us on that side.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. So I think that's actually a really good example, by the way. But this was Saquon Barkley's response to Tiki Barber's essentially response, I guess. Saquon said, LOL, yup, you're the prime example of loyalty to a team. I got the deal I wanted, secured more guaranteed money, which wasn't given to me before. So if fans going to hate me for that, so be it. But I never turned my back on teammates, and I always had theirs. Then he said, Tiki, you've been a hater since I got to New York. and all that dead to me talk, don't smile in my face, and all that dead to me talk, comma, he didn't have one though. Don't talk to me in my face. Don't smile in my face when you see me. Now, I'm going to tell you this, man-to-man level, all this means to me is that Saquon never fucked with Tiki
never,
in the first place.
Liked him. Yeah, he never liked him to begin
he,
with.
He couldn't wait to say this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you rock with someone and you see that dead to me clip, you're not pressed about that shit
not
at all.
At all. Yeah.
You're not worried about that at all. He never fucked with Tiki. That's what I took from it. He was never a fan of Tiki, and he must have heard a couple other things Tiki said. Big Nick the Quick, what are your overall thoughts on the situation?
Yeah, clearly Tiki was joking. I don't think Tiki was serious about it. He's not upset about it. Tiki understands, you know, Saquon's going to do his thing. He made a joke about it. But to your point, you don't joke with people that don't want to joke with you. And it was very clear. Saquon did not want to joke with them, was not in a joking mood. And I think it's also a consider the source type situation. Like, you know, Tiki is not the most popular guy in the world for some of the decisions that he's made. So I think when it comes down to loyalty and things like that, Tiki Barber, who I'm pretty sure he got popped off for cheating on his pregnant wife when he was on Good Morning America or whatever it was one of the things that kind of did him in. So he's had some loyalty issues. Sorry, I know you got to live in New York. I apologize. You might run into Tiki in the streets. I think you know, just with it coming from Tiki, and I'm sure he had heard some stuff throughout the years. And like you said, Tiki's on the radio every day. He's got to fill hours. And I'm sure a lot of those hours last year were filled on whether or not you should pay Saquon Barkley, right? So maybe something that Tiki had said last offseason, you know, Saquon's been holding that to the chest. Maybe he never liked dude. Again, I've always heard that Tiki is a rather unlikable character. So maybe that's it, right? But it's a strong reaction for something that wasn't really strong words headed in your direction. So like you said, man, he was done. Maybe he was just done altogether, though. You know, it's obviously been a challenging couple
fuck
years
the
for
New York
there.
Media.
They didn't
fuck everybody
pay him.
That's got, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Y'all don't want to pay me. You don't
y'all
understand
hated
what I've been
on
doing
me all
for
the
you.
Years.
I'm done. And then you got some shit to say on the way out. It's like, fuck y'all.
Yeah.
You know, so
all I did was show up
is.
every single week, blown ACLs, come back, battle for the dudes. I just wanted a little guaranteed money, which I feel like I deserved. And as soon as I'm out, y'all still chirping.
Hey, but if I'm Saquon, I'm happy I got the bag. You know, it was tough to try to get it last year. You finally got. It seems like there was a market correction this year, and now running backs are getting paid left and right. So I'm happy
which
he got his money. Yeah, it is a mistake. I think that contract's a mistake, to be honest. Eli had asked in the group chat, he's like, were you saying that, you know, Saquon doesn't help him? I'm saying it's not football related. He can absolutely help them on the football field. But for a team last year that we saw had several deficiencies that need to be addressed, and then you add that to the fact that a Hall of Fame center just retired a week ago, so you need to address interior linemen and also the void that leaves from a leadership perspective, because we know Kelce was a leader in that locker room. Like, giving $26 million to Saquon isn't necessarily top of my list. I'm fixing the middle of my defense. Teams could do whatever they wanted to in the flat against us last year, all year long. So I'm fixing things like that before I'm giving $26 million to a running back. With that being said, if you got the money and they feel like that was the right thing to do, I think he absolutely helps them on the football field. And maybe it reminds them to run the ball a little bit more, which is where they had success 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But,
also.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this, and this is a guess. I don't know Saquon. I don't know nothing about how, if he listened to the audio. But I'm going to tell you this. It jumped off to me and was just a little reminder for me that Saquon was, quote, tweeting complex sports. And then if you see the image,
he didn't see it.
You're dead to us, Saquon. Good luck. You're dead to me.
Yeah.
Now, if you just read that,
looks bad.
You could instantly get in a quote tweet and be like, yo, and go off, right?
He didn't
see
it.
And then once you send it and then see the audio after, potentially, you're kind of stuck, right?
Yeah.
Where a lot of people are getting info from, dude, complex sports is purely about driving clicks and getting reactions.
Of course.
Just like that. So that jumped off the screen to me that Saquon follows complex sports, that jumped off the page. And yeah, man, I think if he saw that audio, maybe he would have had a different reply. But either way, I think this showed to me that he never really fucked with Tiki.
No.
And that was where the initial reaction came from. All right. Let's move along to, so we were talking about NFL free agency. What's the another, well, you want to talk about Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Russell Wilson, because it seems like an old news cycle now, but we do want to get our thoughts on Russell Wilson going to Pittsburgh Steelers, signing for less than $2 million. This is a home run for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't understand the negative response to this one iota, one bit. You get a guy that is a veteran, solidified, played solid last year for Denver in a bad, bad situation.
Now, very bad situation. They asked him to give away his injury guarantee in the middle of a five-game winning streak.
A very bad culture under Sean Payton that was new, and he's trying to build that culture his way. Russell Wilson was never a part of that culture. Sean Payton made it clear from the start, wanted to move that guy out of the picture, and that's exactly what Sean Payton did. Sean Payton got in the interview and said whatever he needed to say to secure the job. I love Russell Wilson. I can't wait to work with Russell Wilson. Signed the paperwork before the ink was dry. Get this guy out of here. I don't fuck with this dude. This is not going to be my quarterback of the future. I will play whoever I need to play. That's not Russell Wilson. So fine, doesn't work out. Now Russell goes to Pittsburgh. He's getting paid $39 million regardless from Denver. And Pittsburgh gets essentially a borderline Hall of Fame dude for less than $2 million on a rental? Tell me where's the downside here? I don't understand it at all. Why isn't this a good fit? People were telling us, we said this shit last week on No Catch Up. There were people on national television were coming out and saying flat out, Russell Wilson may not play in the league this year. He's going to stick. He's going to be out of the league. One of the worst takes I've ever heard in my entire life. Drew Locke playing.
Name some of the quarterbacks that started games in the NFL last year. Aiden O'Connell.
It's unbelievable. Yo,
who was the Astro dude on the black dude? Like Josh Dobbs played games in the NFL last year. Who's the Italian guy in New York?
And if you really want to get spicy, Big Nick the Quick, we could get spicy. I think Trevor Lawrence is borderline the same level as Russell Wilson on a gameplay standpoint right now.
For sure.
Trevor Lawrence not jumping off the page week to week.
Never.
And he gets no slander. None.
None.
He's the chosen one, Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. Yeah. So we could really, if we really want to get into it, if we're ranking quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence and Russell Wilson damn near on the same par right now today. So you can get a veteran guy in an absolutely phenomenal culture that is the Pittsburgh Steelers under Mike Tomlin, the culture's king, and you can get him for less than $2 million? It's a home run signing for me. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you 110%. I had to look up the numbers. So over the last 2 years, the Pittsburgh Steelers have thrown 26 touchdown passes. That is over the past 34 games of NFL football in a passing era. So, number one, from a fit standpoint and what they need, absolutely. They 1,000% need a quarterback. We talk about culture. You can't reset in Pittsburgh the way that other franchises do because the culture is so strong under Mike Tomlin that he refuses to give you a losing season. It's just not possible. I'm fully convinced at this point. It's just not possible because any other coach, I don't think you're pulling 8-9. This was a playoff team last year. I couldn't name you five good guys on their roster outside of Watt and maybe a couple other guys, right? Like they really, from a talent standpoint, offensively watching them was brutal. Kenny Pickett, I understand they want to believe in him and it seems like he has a lot of support within that organization, but maybe he's not ready. I'm not sure. But either way, we all looked at this team and were like, man, they play hard, you know, like these guys that refuse to lose, but they have nothing offensively.
Refuse to lose.
So you mean to tell me you can essentially bring in Russell Wilson for free, right? This is how much he costs you less than a backup quarterback would have cost. If you look at some of these backup deals, Jameis Winston just got $8 million to be a backup, right? I think another guy just got $8 million to be a backup. So you're getting Russell Wilson at $2 million a year where there is still football left there, right? And he can still do things that are going to help Kenny Pickett if he is your guy long term. You're not bringing in Russ for the next 3 years. You're bringing him right now because you feel like you have a team that can compete, right? You feel like you have a culture that he can come into, and he's the guy that can kind of take you there. I get that Russell Wilson is corny. I get that he might not be everybody's cup of tea, but it seems like he turned into like an axe murderer overnight, and like a guy that we just can't be around, right? Like he's just so toxic. Russ is going to come in there, and as far as my understanding was, year one in Denver, he was like that. Year two, he was not, right? Once the team put the end to all that and Peyton put the end to all that, we didn't hear a peep about any weird Russell Wilson shit at all last year, right? So I just feel like the narrative on Russ has gotten so crazy. The talk about him being out the league was absolutely absurd when you look at some of the quarterback play that we have seen in this league over the last couple of years and some of the guys who are lining up on Sunday, especially when injuries start to happen, that if you mean to tell me that Russell Wilson is not a quarterback in this league, it's absolutely insane. So I think that was a smart deal by the Steelers. I'm shocked that more teams weren't all over it. But to your point, everybody said he wasn't going to be in the league, and he took one meeting and was signed that day. So it goes to show what these people know. So listen to that. Remember that when you're hearing some of this analysis. Really remember that when you're listening to some of this draft analysis. Most of these folks are out there just taking guesses, trying to craft narratives on their own. Like, I fully believe Hasselbeck was just trying to kind of create a narrative that maybe if it did come true, he could come back and point a few months later and be like, hey, see, I was the one that told you he wouldn't be in the league. But there was never any chance that Russell Wilson was making it to May, let alone past March. Like, stop it. I can still think of 10 teams right now that don't have a quarterback. I could probably give you 15 teams right now that Russell Wilson would be better than the guy that they have lining up right now. So I don't want to hear it, man. I'm happy that that he found somewhere that's going to work for him. I hope now, you know, Mike Tomlin can finally get a quarterback that can do some things for him, and let's see what happens.
No question, because
now with that, now that division obviously is going to be a lot more difficult this year. Burrow's going to come back. You know, you still got to deal with Lamar. You still got to deal with Cleveland.
Yo, well, Nick, yeah. It's a lot less difficult than Kenny Pickett taking snaps.
Yeah, 100%.
Or Trubisky taking difficult. Snaps.
Yeah.
Like,
or Mason Rudolph.
I love this than giving $100 million to Kirk Cousins. Love this way more than potentially trading up in the draft and grabbing I love this for a lot of different reasons. You're going to get me Russell Wilson. Honestly, Nick, I wouldn't have been mad if the Bears moved Justin and signed Russell Wilson for 1.9 or whatever, and then figured out the situation between him and Caleb or whatever you want to talk about.
Really?
For a year?
That's Andy Dalton-esque.
Wait. where are we? Why does everybody think Russell Wilson is horrific?
No, it has nothing to do with his play. I just think that the move could I'm just start Caleb from day one is where I'm at. But yeah,
okay.
I see where you're coming from, but 100%, I understand where you're coming from. I don't disagree with it. If we didn't have the number one pick in the draft, I'd for sure be like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, look, yeah. I just try to throw in a little bit of devil's advocate. Obviously, in a perfect world, we draft Caleb, we play him, he's good.
But I get what you're saying. Yeah, I agree with you.
I get it.
There's only so many teams who shouldn't be taking a look at Russell Wilson. It's really, there should be more teams taking a look at Russell Wilson than there should be teams who aren't taking a look at Russell Wilson landscape of the NFL.
It had pushed to the point where he was going to be out of the league. And it was like, are you guys fucking out? Like,
yeah, how come New England wasn't calling for Russ, right?
For like, and Sean Little and Nick Harvey, who are a little bit in the loop. But not, I'm not in NFL circles like I am NBA circles. There's no reason. I don't care. There's no reason Russell Wilson shouldn't be talked about for half the teams in the NFL.
Yeah. Easy. It's
ridiculous. Easy. So
at that price, on a one-year deal.
For less than $2
million. Like, if you hate him, you can literally be like, here, take your $2 million, get the fuck out of here.
Yes. 100%.
Like, I'm out.
Yes. Absolutely.
And he's got a chip on his shoulder, I feel like.
Oh, no doubt.
They've been trying to throw Russell away for 2 years, man. Come on.
Yeah,
they wrote him off and he ain't right back.
he is in a really nasty spot where it seems like everyone was kind of waiting for his downfall after all that. Hey, man, you know when it all turned bad, Nick? When Russell Wilson on his first game in Denver at Seattle came out and stood in the middle of the field and he was – praying up to in the middle of the Seahawk, praying up to the gods.
He showed up in that tuxedo, bro, too.
Yes, and he showed up in that weak-ass tux.
It was the tux.
It's been all bad ever since. No one's been rooting for him since that particular moment. All right, let's talk about Nick Saban really quick. I got some audio from, I guess they went in front of Congress?
Yeah, what was that? He was Yeah, Nick is that upset. He's like, no, I need a hearing. I need a hearing off of this. Fuck that. I need a hearing now.
This man, Nick Saban. When I saw the clip. I saw him sitting next to Terry Crews. I said, wait, wait.
Hey, it was before the State of the Union. He's like, let me warm y'all up real quick. Talk about NIL.
This shit can't be that serious. They got my man Saban, the man that, listen, Saban retired, bro. He's 74 years old. Why is this man in Congress talking about NIL? But what he's getting at overall is NIL, the game I knew no longer exists. Here's Nick Saban talking to Congress, I guess, about NIL money. Take a listen.
All the things that I believed in for all these years. 50 years of coaching.
Hold on. I got a pause right there. Nick Saban.
Yeah, why is Ted Cruz looking at him like that? Ted's like.
Saban opened up the clip with, since all the 50 years that I've been around this game. Oh, my God. All right. Here goes Nick Saban. I had to stop it right there.
All the things that I believed in for all these years. 50 years of coaching, no longer exist in college athletics. So it's always was about developing players. It was always about helping people be more successful in life. My wife even said to me, we'd have all the recruits over on Sunday with their parents for breakfast, and she would always meet with the mothers and talk about how she was going to help and impact their sons and how they would be well taken care of. And she came to me, you know, like right before I retired and said, why are we doing this? And I said, what do you mean? She said, all they care about is how much you're going to pay them. They don't care about how you're going to develop them, which is all what we've always done. So why are we doing this?
Any thoughts, Big Nick the Quick? Because
I think
some of that is genuine.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's just like, I think those conversations happened and he was like, this is not what we're about. But it's tough coming from a guy that's making $10, $12 million and has been for the last 10 years.
And has had it really good there those last few years in Alabama where he could pretty much get any recruit. And obviously the game changed. Look, yeah. Saban has first off been hinting towards this for years. If you listen, ever since the NIL happened, and he knew that – I've been saying this. He knew that Texas and Oklahoma were coming to town. He knew there is no chance in essentially what is unregulated free agency that I can stand up to oil money. It's different, man. It's different. You saw the 30 for 30, the Pony XS. When these boys come into town, the money is different, right? So, number one, you can't compete with that. Number two, if you're used to the old school way of recruiting, which is what Saban is, hey, I'm going to get the best players. I'm going to keep them for 3 to 4 years. I'm going to develop them. And they go to the draft. And that's when they get paid, right? Like the rainbow is at the end. But in between that, you're going to work and we're going to get you there. That's not the case anymore, man. So I 100% don't disagree with what Saban's saying. I don't disagree with him feeling that way. I don't disagree with him retiring because I think, again, he realized that this is a completely different landscape and it's only going to get worse. But here's what I say. And this isn't to necessarily Nick Saban. This is to the NCAA, to all the conferences, to everybody. This is all your fault. For years, you could have fixed this problem before it got to this point. But you wanted to bang your head on that amateurism model. You wanted to bang your head on that student-athlete model. You wanted to bang your head on all your pageantry and all that shit and Old Faithful, whatever the fuck it is that you guys have going on, and this is amateurism. And what happened? Those boys took you to court. The court said, this is not amateurism. They can make their money. And what you tried to do for all these years was to avoid an NFL situation, and now you have a situation that is way worse than the NFL. Right? You have unregulated free agency with no contracts, essentially. Like a guy can show up on campus on Wednesday, sign an NAL deal, get $10 million, and on Friday be like, hey, I'm going somewhere else. And there's nothing there to stop it. Right? So in all of your efforts to keep it amateur and keep it pure and all this, you ignore which is what was right in front of you, which was, hey, maybe we do need to make a model that allows these players to get paid so that maybe one day they don't fucking take us to court. A court looks at this and says, this is absolute bullshit. These guys should be able to do whatever the fuck they want. So now you lost your transfer rules. Guys can transfer whenever they want to. And now people can get paid. It's 100% their fault. It's 100% their fault. I'm not saying it's Saban's fault, but he was part of this machine that for years was churning out free labor and making millions of dollars. When you had 70 different bowl games with 85 different sponsors, maybe you should look up and say, hey, this probably isn't amateurism. When you have the NCAA tournament playing all day long across six different channels, right, and millions of dollars of gambling and all types of stuff going on with it, maybe you say, oh, this isn't amateurism. But no, you kept saying it was amateurism. You kept saying these are student athletes. You kept saying we don't need to pay them. Someone, Ed O'Bannon, I think it was, Ed O'Bannon from UCLA, shout out him, played himself in a video game, looked at his bank account and said, hey, why am I playing as myself but I get no money? Took it to court. Court said, you should be getting paid on this. That's where we are right now. It'll never be the same. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. But you had the ability to do it correctly for years, and this is where we're at.
No, decades.
Decades. It hasn't been amateurism since the days of old Dixie. Like, come on, man. What are we talking about here? So, of course, that's where we're at. But it's your fault. It's your fault. Don't blame the players. Don't blame the companies. Don't blame the agents. Blame yourself. You could have easily fixed this situation years ago, and no one would have said a goddamn thing. Right? You didn't have to give it all, but your choice was to give zero.
That's no question. And now it's essentially going to end up being a rev share type situation. They become employees of the university.
It's ugly.
It's just pro ball, really.
It's pro ball. And it's been pro ball.
Been pro.
You could have made it. You could have made it an amateur version of pro. If you would have given people a little bit, they wouldn't have been looking for anything. I truthfully believe that. Right. I don't think a lot of these guys were expecting to be $4 or $5 million quarterbacks. Right. You didn't expect the Arch Manning type situation to happen. But if you had thrown Arch 100,000, Arch might have shut the fuck up.
Maybe 15 or 20. Before Arch knew that he could get five, he would have probably taken 300,000.
Yes. Yeah. And now you want to take Heismans, you know, Reggie Bush taking people's Heismans and stuff, like little shit, like vacating wins. Another dumb thing. How do you vacate a win? I was there. It happened.
Yes, that's a fact.
Vacating wins. Like, yeah, what are we talking about here? So this is these people. This is, you can go back years since we started this show. We have railed on the NCAA. It's a fucking joke. These conferences are a fucking joke, and the chickens are coming home to roost. God bless them. I'm fine, dude. This is your own problem. I feel zero sympathy. Like, literally, it has been headed towards this way. I'm so happy. When I saw you put this on the docket for today, I was so happy. Because we don't talk a lot of college ball, but man, I'm telling you right now, they're reaping what they sowed. I'm coming with more cliches today than I ever have. But it's just the truth. They all apply in this situation. And so I challenge someone to tell me I'm wrong. They could have fixed this. So yeah, you could have thrown these guys a bone before and they wouldn't have gone looking for it. But once they did, and once no court is going to look at this and be like, you know what? No, you shouldn't make money off your name. Come on, man. That was easy.
Yeah, it was true. No question. All right, let's move over to because I think that's perfectly well said. That was very well done. Big Nick the Quick. Shout out to the players getting their bread and by any means necessary, because that's what this is about. This is the United States of America. All right, let's go over to the NBA. I posed a question to Big Nick the Quick. I said, hey, if you had to make an NBA future bet right now, give me one. What would it be? We've, of course, talked about, when do we bet the Boston Celtics to win the East? Milwaukee is unserious, brother. I'm sick of trying to take those dudes seriously, all right?
Day by day.
Day by day, it's like, dude, why compete with the Celtics? How?
Yeah.
So that's a big question mark for me and when I'm going to decide to fire on the Boston Celtics. Overall, Nick, actually, let me get your opinion on this, and I would love your help in seeing what your thoughts are here. Say I don't. Right now, you could bet the Celtics to win the East, like minus 110, minus 120. Last night, it was minus 110. I think it ticked up a little bit coming into the morning. Now, is that number? Are we ever going to see that number again?
No.
And let me ask you this. If I were to wait till the playoffs started so I can avoid injury and I don't, make sure nobody gets hurt, all that stuff, and I bet them the first day of round one, how much longer does that number get? Does it get to minus 150? Does it get to minus 160?
Yeah.
Where does it get capped? That's what I'm trying to figure out, because if we think that at the start of the playoffs, it'll get to Boston minus 160 to win the East. I need to be betting Boston now. And if they and if an injury occurs over the next 15 games, 16 games, then I just have to eat it. But where are we at with Boston and that level? And what are your thoughts there? And then we'll get into your NBA futures bet that you would make right now.
I'd fire on that number right now. I'm very wary on some of the other – only because I'm wary on some of the other teams in the Eastern Conference and how they're going to finish. And I would wonder that that number is just going to get propelled up because of that. Like, I think Knicks have been a little bit better now that Brunson's back. But, I mean, if you look at teams like Cleveland, you talked about Milwaukee, Indiana is another team that's just all over the place. It becomes very hard to find a team that could derail them on this path. I really think, it really comes down to the Knicks. The Knicks are the team that stylistically I feel like could give Boston some issues. We saw what happens when Boston gets punched in the mouth. So it really depends on how the Knicks go into the playoffs and how you feel the Knicks are going to go in the playoffs, whether or not you fire on that number now or the beginning of round one. But to me, I think that number is only going to get longer.
I really hope the Knicks play the Heat in the first round.
We actually just saw Boston's worst stretch of basketball, too, if we want to be honest, the last week when they dropped those two games. Outside of that, I don't really see anything.
Yeah, that's and one of them was momentum. And one of them was to the Nuggets in Denver.
Yeah, exactly.
I really hope the Knicks get the Heat in the first round. Home court advantage at the Garden.
Let's get them out the way.
I am going to hammer the Knicks. I can't wait to see the number. Let them hang like a minus 120 to win the series. Knicks versus – I'm hammering that. I'm so confident in the Knicks with OG and Julius back. Julius needs to get back and get like 10 to 12 games under his belt.
13-2 since OG is with OG in the starting lineup or something like that.
I've never seen a more perfect fit for Tom Thibodeau in my entire life.
It was one of the best trades we've seen.
He's a perfect fit under Tom and that team. Everything – and Josh Hart. Everything about him is a great fit. Yeah, the unicorn, Josh Hart, facts. The facts.
Hold on,
let's talk about that for a second. So, everybody listening, I call Josh Hart a unicorn.
Triple double last night.
Yo, go follow my Twitter at Chicago Flow. I called Josh Hart a unicorn last month, like first week of March. And Nick and my guy Etter went off on me in the group chat. They were calling me this, they were calling me that. Nick's homer. I got orange and blue sky glasses on. What are you talking about? Name another dude that does what he does with the amount of talent that he has in that situation.
Name another guy. We can't call high-level role players unicorns. It's
name
just
a guy.
Not,
name a guy.
You can't call a high-level role player a unicorn.
Name a guy.
It's a high-level role player. High-level, peak level. Is Derek White a unicorn?
How many triple-doubles Derek White got?
Derek White's a
I'm a huge Derek White.
Yeah,
guy.
I know. And
massive.
He's like the pinnacle of role
yes,
player
but
right
he,
now.
But he's but he's still not cleaning up 10 boards and 10 dimes.
Sure. Josh Hart, listen, man, when they made the trade for Hart, was that last year? When they made the deal for Hart, I was like, oh, Tibbs is gonna love this guy. He'll never pull him off the floor because Josh Hart does whatever it takes to win. Comes from a winning program in Villanova, a former player of the year. Josh Hart's awesome. I love Josh Hart. I've always loved Josh Hart. I think he's perfect for that organization and that team. I'm not going to go as far as to call him a unicorn. I understand what you're saying. He's unique. Unique doesn't make you a unicorn.
you said Luka's the unicorn. Yeah. Josh Hart is unique.
Yeah, exactly. Like fucking Wembanyama's a unicorn. It's like this isn't real. You know what I mean? He's not a unicorn. He's very unique though, and he masters his role. He's a master of his role. So shout out Josh Hart, man. I'm a big fan of Josh Hart. Love him. I love that team, and I don't want the shit that you know we give you for the Knicks to make it seem like I got my Knicks colors on today. I don't want to make it seem like I'm not on board. I really like the Knicks. You've been on it all year that this is a really good team. I think since the OG trade, adding in Bogdanovich when he gets going, I really do like that team. I think they're going to be a tough out. You got to get Julius back, and then you got to make sure you get the right version of Julius. But yeah, I really like that team. So I'm not trying to downplay the Knicks. It's just your love for the Knicks. It's funny how it manifests itself into whatever it is now. So that's really what it comes down to. Like, you know, 8 a.m. Josh Hart's a unicorn tweets are a little bit obsessive. I've liked things before, too.
Shout out Josh Hart, man.
Josh Hart for real. So I'll give you my bet, though.
Yeah.
I decided to go very, very, very long on something. Only because, why not, right? Let's have some fun. Team that's been playing really well. A team that's had some fun in the playoffs the last couple of years. New Orleans Pelicans to win the West plus 2,800.
I'm not mad at that.
It's not. And listen, watch the film. Pelicans are a tough team to play against. They're super deep.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that you could, if they do make a little bit of a run, you could easily hedge out of and be massively profitable.
Massively profitable, yeah. So I like how they're playing. I think they're a tough team over seven games. I think they got a lot of attitude. I think Zion, post-in-season tournament, which we think about, I think we talked about this last week, that seems like 8 years ago.
Yeah,
but something happened after he faced that criticism for how he came into that tournament in Vegas, that it almost like flipped a switch on him, and he's just been taking it a lot seriously. Just watching them, I've watched a lot of Pelicans post break, and like his demeanor is different, right? He's still not in great shape at all, but the way he's playing and the way that he's attacking the game, and then just putting the ball in his hands and unlocking this, you know what it kind of reminds me of? Not the same type player, but the same type concept. You remember when Spo made LeBron point guard for a couple of years in Miami? And it was like, this is fucking ridiculous. You got a 6'8", 270-pound point guard that can get wherever he wants. It's kind of like that. It looks different than what LeBron was. He's not the level of passer that LeBron was. But just putting the ball in his hands and watching him operate their offense, it's fucking terrifying.
Yeah. Once they made him the point guard, that's where shit started to really tick.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then he has two guys on each wing that can knock down, shoot it, and score. And then they got a big down low and probably the most underrated dude in the NBA.
Your boy.
My boy, Jonas.
Low usage.
God, I fucking love
him. Low usage MVP.
Man. Jonas Valanciunas.
I was hoping he doesn't come to the Bulls because it'll ruin your – it'll be like Vooch. You loved Vooch prior to coming to the Bulls.
Dude, I tweeted something about Vooch. Said hope. I said I was hopeful. Hope never pays. And the more I think about that, hope never pays.
Nope.
If you can pull hope out of your entire – this sounds pretty dark. But, like, if you can pull hope out of your entire, like, existence and just, like, be logical and just do what you got to do, then shit gets a lot different. Like, the hopeful shit almost never pays. I hope this is going to happen, or I hope – just, like, either try to do your best to do it or not. And if it happens for you, it does. If not – but like me hoping that Vooch, it's kind of like, that's kind of been my approach to like the drafts. I'm not hoping this dude is going to come in. I'll wait till Sunday and I'll see if folks can play or not.
Yeah.
All this evaluation and hope and this, that, it's like, man, best thing about sports is that we get to wait and see what guys are going to be able to do and what, and you say something, okay, that's interesting. Let's see what you do on Sunday when y'all play at 12 PM. Right. Right. So, yeah, the hope never pays. But, yeah, man, Jonas Valanciunas, I love his game. I'm not mad at the Pels, man.
They could surprise – I just feel like
– because they're not going to have – well, also, no one's really talking too much about these teams coming out of the West that are going to be coming out of the play-in are going to be at a massive disadvantage to at least start these series coming out. They're going to be in for a dogfight. Those teams that are in the 9 and 10 – are going to be grinding.
And they're going to have to show up. Two older teams between the Warriors and the Lakers in that spot as well, right? So, like, yeah.
And they're going to have to show up and play high-level hoops against some teams that are younger and are ready and have had a couple of days off. You don't want to go down a seven-game series, lose one, and you're going to be on the road? Yep. You can go down 2-0 in the series in a heartbeat, and then you're in trouble.
And I know you're pretty lukewarm on the Kings, right?
Very, extremely lukewarm on the Kings. The Kings are lukewarm on the Kings.
They won 6 of 10, but yeah. I mean, they smashed Milwaukee the other night.
Yeah, 6 of 10, and then every other game, it's win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. Yeah, and like the De'Aaron Fox thing has been interesting. He starts the year essentially averaging 28, 29 a game. Then he has a huge gap in the middle of the year where he scores like 21 points a game.
Yeah.
And then now he shows up to close, and now he's back up scoring 27, 28 a night. So, but, you know, Sabonis leads the league in boards. Sabonis has been awesome. Malik Monk.
One of my favorite players in the league is Malik Monk.
Yeah, Malik Monk.
Just a fucking basketball player.
My sixth man of the year preseason. I hope somebody tailed that. He looks like he's going to lock up that award.
When he gets going, he's one of those guys. Like when Malik Monk is feeling,
he got that Ben Gordon in him.
Yeah, absolutely.
He got that Ben Gordon in him. That I don't care. I'm getting it up. And if this shit is falling, get out.
The rim is 50 feet wide. I'm letting it fly.
Yes.
No question. Clear out. Yeah.
Anything else in the? Give me your top eight in the West right now. Who's not going to make it? Where are we at? Oh, let me ask you this. Because another bet that I was just talking to my guy Jay Money about on Buckets. Go listen to that new pod out right now, actually. I recorded it last night. We were talking about the Golden State Warriors. Is it time to fire on them to not make the playoffs? It's like minus 150. The only reason that they're
always lurking.
Listen, the only reason they're locked into the 10 is because Houston is like four games back. Yeah.
Well, they're
under no threat. I'm pretty confident that the Warriors are going to finish the season in the 10.
Yeah.
They're going to have to either go to Dallas or the Lakers, potentially even Sacramento, who's very familiar with them. And they're going to have to win two games in a row to get into the playoffs. Right now, minus 150 to not make the playoffs. Where are you at with Golden State? Can they get out of the 10?
Yeah, to me, they're playing better than they were to start the year. So
Curry's hurt.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They're an injury away. They're essentially a Steph Curry injury away from this entire thing being a disaster. But I feel like if they get in there healthy, I'm not betting against that team.
So then who are the two teams out in the play?
Yeah, so I
– Or the West
I like,
in general.
I like you on Sacramento. I think Phoenix gets in at this point. I like you on Sacramento. And, man, I think Dallas has a tough time in a one-game series depending on who they play.
Oh, see, that's I disagree with you. I think in a one game, if they have to go to Dallas too, Luka's just gonna score
70.
Luka's just gonna go for 49 and 12, and then Kyrie's gonna score 25.
Yeah,
like in a one game sitting where he could just empty the tank at home. I like Dallas. I'm not worried about them, but it seems like, dude, can you imagine if we had Phoenix, Dallas, Lakers, and the Warriors in the play-in?
Yeah, crazy. NBA would love it.
Be crazy. But yeah, I mean, I gotta go. I think I have to go Sacramento and Golden State.
And this is why, and for people, you know, this is why they put this play-in model in, right? Like, I think this is the first year you're really gonna see it with this Western Conference where it's like, hey, we got some heavy hitters in this play-in tournament, right? And we got real star power. This isn't Bulls versus Heat last year. Like, you got some real shit going on. So yeah,
Sacramento really needs to get the six. If Sacramento's in the play-in, I'm not with them. Yeah.
Do you believe that a team from the – so if let's say the play-in stays where it's at, right, Sacramento, Dallas, Lakers, Warriors.
Yeah.
Do you believe that any of these teams can threaten to win in the West?
No.
Okay.
Matt Moore
– Lance of the Slaughter?
Laid it out. I don't think anyone has won a title outside of the top four seeds in a long time.
Was it Dallas?
You have to finish in the top four
in each
conference to win the title. I should go back and get the number, but two big factors on teams that win the title: top 10 in offense, top 10 in defense, finish top four in the conference. So typically, when you're top 10 in defense and offense, you're going to finish top four in the conference, right? But you got to be right around. You got to be able to play D a little bit. Like this whole number, like this whole Indiana Pacers shit where it's like number one in offense, but like 19th in defense shit doesn't play.
It's not real.
In the playoffs. You need to be for example, post All-Star break, the Denver Nuggets are number three in offense and number nine in D.
Yeah.
Throughout the year, the Knicks are like 8-8 or 9-9 offense and defense. Boston, of course, is number one in offense, and they're like number two in D because the amount of pressure they put on you on offense. People forget, like, those Warriors teams, the defense was good, but a lot of that was predicated on just the offensive onslaught and the decision-making that put you under. You were just under high pressure at all costs because a 9-0 run was literally right around the corner and was happening frequently. So it put a lot of pressure on your offense, which improved your defense, and that's exactly what Boston is doing at the moment right now in the East. So a couple of plays there. Any other NBA thoughts before we come back next week, break it all down once again?
Let's strap in. Ready for the playoffs.
Man, I'm ready for the playoffs. Get me to the playoffs right now, man. These last 15 games, will be fun, though, because
I was going to say, also, get Philly off of national TV. Just,
please.
We're done here. We're done here. Like, we're done here.
If I have to watch Tobias Harris play any more national televised minutes, shout out Kelly Oubre. He played phenomenal last night. He's bringing it. Tobias Harris scored 0 points in the first half and just watched his team get destroyed possession after possession, and he did nothing to contribute to anything. It was a vintage Tobias Harris half at the Garden. But I digress. Yes, get the Philadelphia 76ers off national television. And I don't think Embiid's coming back. That conversation, I think, is moot, because I don't think the big fella is coming back. I think that knee is banged up, and there's no reason to rush back to end up playing, you know, the Celtics in the second round. Now, would he try to get back? Sure, but I just think he is actually banged up. And that was the gut. That was my gut when it first happened. It was like, yeah, we're done with this.
Yeah,
we'll never see the Philadelphia 76ers compete for the rest of the year. All right. Yeah. For Big Nick the Quick, I'm your host, Sean Little. No catch on Sports Talk via Chicago. Subscribe to the channel. Tell a homie to tell a friend. Pass off the podcast. We really appreciate it. Until next week, let's get it, baby.